Very, very quickly. I am speaking quickly on the subject. Come up hither. Moses' encounter. Come up hither. Moses' encounter. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 1, all the way to verse 5. The Bible said, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Go on. Moreover, he said, I'm the Lord, I'm the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now therefore, that's the point now, and I will send you unto Pharaoh, that you may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Our objective tonight is to understand the results of the encounter of Moses with God. One, to understand the results of that encounter. And secondly, to understand the reasons for the encounter, or the secrets that brought the encounter. I have said at the beginning of this program that it takes a divine encounter to alter the course of a man's life and destiny. Why one divine encounter can change the history of a man. It takes a divine encounter to experience a shift, and a divine encounter to experience a lift in life and destiny. What is happening to Moses? Moses had a vision, and he had a passion to deliver the children of Israel 40 years before. In Exodus chapter 2, verse 11 to verse 14, you will see Moses' experience. It came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And he looked this way and that way, and when he saw that there was no man, he slew the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together, and he said to him that did the wrong, wherefore smitest thou thy fellow? And he said, who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? And Moses feared and said, surely this thing is known. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled
from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. That was 40 years before this encounter. Moses had a vision. He had a passion. He had literally a mandate to set his people free. He attempted it and failed. And he left for 40 solid years. And now he's returning back again. And he had an encounter with God. In the book of Acts, you will understand that Moses had a knowing. He had a vision. He had a passion for the deliverance of his people. He did not just go out, saw two people fighting, and try to intervene. There was a call. There was a vision. In Acts chapter 7 verse 23, Stephen told us about that vision. He said, all the way to verse 25, he said, when Moses was fully 40 years old, it came into his heart. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. This is where the matter lies. For he assumed, he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand will deliver them, but they understood not. Which means when Moses went, he understood. He knew he had a vision. He had a passion. He had a calling. He didn't just go to fight to separate a fight. He didn't just go to try to do something. He heard something. He saw something. He received something. He knew there was a call on his life to deliver his brethren. And he went assuming that they too were aware. But they were not aware. And he attempted and failed. And he left the calling completely for 40 years. There are people like that here tonight. What did the divine encounter do for Moses? Number one, it was the restoration of vision and passion. The restoration of his vision and passion. There are times where there is the need for vision to be restored and for passion to be restored. Many of us had visions. We had passions, youthful passions, youthful visions that was not necessarily youthful exuberance. Things that God placed in our hearts and in our lives that should have been carried out and fulfilled. But for one reason or the other, it got lost. For one reason or the other, the vision disappeared. The passion disappeared. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves roaming in the wilderness of life and doing any other thing possible until there is an encounter. Beloved, there is such a thing as vision failure. And many times, when there is vision failure, people abandon the vision completely. That was what happened to Moses. When people try and vision got failed, and vision failed to come to pass, at times they abandon the vision completely. And then what are the things that can cause vision to fail? Three things, and I'll mention them quickly. Three or four things. Number one is the wrong approach. The restoration, his vision was restored. But what caused his vision to fail in the first case? It will be the wrong approach or the wrong method. God was not going to make Moses to kill people one by one in order to set Israel free. If he was going to kill them one by one, how many people would he need to kill before Israel will come out of captivity? The wrong approach. Second is the wrong timing. Even though God was going to use Moses to bring the children of Israel out of captivity, it was not time yet. They were to stay in the land of bondage for 400 years. It was not yet 400 years. The wrong timing. Vision can fail, number three, due to enemy confrontation.
There are those who are confronted into frustration. You started and you see, if God has laid his hands on you, the enemy is going to stand against the vision. He says, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail, which means the gates of hell will attempt. Don't ever think that the witches and wizards in your village are clapping for you because you are anointed. Don't even think that the ancestral altars of your father's house are celebrating because you have a call. Don't think that diabolic people, ritualists and those kind of people are excited because you have a call. That is why we have fathers in the faith, and all across the world, people are excited that a thing like this is happening. He said when he came to the Lord in 46 years ago, church was called Mushroom Church. No, it was, they said things like as poor as a church rat. There was nothing in the church. You never imagined that anything like this will ever belong to a church. So the devil is, and his children are having convulsion. They are fitting. They are having stroke. Cerebrovascular accident. They are having seizure disorders. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Never you think that people will clap for you. You see, there are people who abandon the vision because they were confronted into stagnation, as if things were not going to work. But I am anointed to announce here today, in the name that is above every name, Jesus Christ, the resurrection Lord, there shall be restoration for that vision, restoration for that mission, restoration for that passion. Shout the loudest, amen. Take your seat. Why do vision fail? Fourthly, don't forget that we are still dealing with the restoration of his vision. The fourth reason why vision fail is the absence of preparation. There are people who step into ministry or step into various assignments before they were ready for the assignment. It's failure, the absence of preparation. It is written in that question the man asked him in Exodus chapter 2, verse 13 to 14. And when he went out the second day, behold, two men of the Hebrews strove together. And he said to him that did the wrong, why do you smite your fellow? And he said to him, who made thee? You stop there, it's enough. Who manufactured you? When were you processed? What you are trying to carry out, who processed you for it? Can you tell us about your preparation? Who made you? Who made you? Jesus said to Peter, come and I will make you. I will make you fishers of men. I want to make you. But Moses, who made you? Why are you trying to lead without being made? Who discipled you? Who mentored you? Who is instructing you? Who has prepared you? Who has panel beaten you? Who sandpapered you? Is God speaking to somebody here? It is, in most cases, it's not that the vision is wrong, it's that the preparation is not there. That was why when God was calling Isaiah said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am not cooked. I am not baked well. I am half baked. I am unprepared. Lord, you want to send me, bake me, cook me. Who made you? So he went through the wilderness for 40 solid years to be made. Because he was to take them through the wilderness. And you can't take people through where you haven't been. It is not possible to show anybody a road you haven't passed. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? Some of us, our arrival here is arrival to be made. How many of you know that the mantle fell on Elisha twice? You remember? In 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 19, Elisha was plowing with the yoke of oxen, and Elijah saw him and pulled his mantle and dropped it on Elisha. That was the first falling. The falling was when Elijah said, I am about to be taken up. Ask what you want. And he said, a double portion of your anointing. That was in 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 10, 11, 12. That was the second falling of the anointing. In between the two fallings was 21 years. You don't understand what I'm talking about. In between the first dropping, this, the first one, the man was plying his yoke of oxen as a farmer, agriculturist, and a major prophet dropped his mantle on him, and he ran after the man. And the man said, and Elijah said, what have I done to you? He said, let me go and wave bye to my parents. He waved the bye. That mantle that fell did not remain. He carried it. Elijah held it until 21 years later when it dropped and remained. The first dropping of the mantle is the signification of interest. It is God saying, I am interested in your life if you want. That dropping of the mantle at first was not for ministry. It was a calling to be prepared. It is God saying, I want to do something with your life. The challenge is that people take that first mantle and rush into ministry and start doing something and start trying to achieve something. And God is saying, I have not even said anything yet. I only called. We haven't even discussed. And you cut the call and run. How many of you know, when I read the book of Kenneth Hagin, and he said after 17 years of ministry, God told him, you are about to enter the first chapter of my plan for your life. After 17 years, he told God, then what have I been doing with my life? For 17 years. And God said, you have been in preparation. You are about to start. Wow. For some of us, we are already in ministry or in doing whatever we are meant to be doing. But God is saying, I am still preparing you. You have not arrived. You are still on the journey. I don't know about you, but I am still on the journey. Is God speaking to somebody here? But this is the conclusion of the matter. Everyone today that is in need of a preparation for the next level of God's program for your life, I declare grace to be prepared is released upon you. Grace to be prepared is released upon you. And I announce the same encounter that produced a restoration for the life and for the vision of Moses and for the passion of Moses, that encounter is happening to you right now. Take your seat. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You know the way you used to feel about soul winning that has died? The way you used to feel about crusades or about helping the poor or the widows, or the way you used to feel about impacting your world. You are practically on fire until something slowed you down. My assignment tonight is to make the fire to burn. To make the bush to burn again. to make the glow to be restored back in your heart again. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Say it like a believer. I don't think I'll finish this thing tonight. So in the next few minutes, we shall stop it halfway and continue tomorrow morning. The first thing that the encounter did for Moses was the restoration of his vision and passion. Number two was the restoration of his hearing and direction. Moses literally lost his hearing. He lost his hearing. At the burning bush, his hearing returned. How do I know? We already saw it in Acts chapter 7, verse 23 to 25. That 40 something years before, God had already spoken to him that he was going to deliver the children of Israel. And he could not succeed. And he ran away. And because of that, he was out of touch until God was speaking to him again. There are people here tonight. There was a time where you saw revelations like water. You heard the voice of God effortlessly. In my own life, one time I had to tell God, show me the things you used to show me now. There was a time I had to. Because I've seen some things in time past, at that time, before that time. I've seen myself sat in the middle of ancient men. Smith Wigglesworth, John Wesley, a third man, were communicating. I saw such things frequently. And then a time came when there was nothing like that anymore. I told you something this morning where I saw a revelation where some people were coming to attack me. And then a man came and said, give me space. And then he did hand and cleared all of them at once. I said, who are you? He said, I'm the angel sent to fight your battles. I saw such things frequently at the time, and then at that time, I couldn't see anything again. I couldn't hear anything again. There are people like that here. And when God began to speak to Moses the second time, there was something Moses said that touched me. That was Exodus chapter 4 verse 10. When God said to Moses, I am sending you. And Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent. Neither before now, nor since you spoke to me. That is, me and you are talking now. You know you spoke with me before. Between then and now, my tongue has not changed. That is, I am hearing you afresh. The easy to read version or the Message Bible or the Good News Bible, if you have any of them, and you place it on the stage. Moses raised another objection to God. Master, please, I don't talk well. I've never been good with words, neither before nor after you spoke to me. Moses had heard God spoke to him before, but the voice disappeared at the burning bush. There was a restoration of divine hearing. And there was a restoration of divine direction. The question is, what can make people to stop hearing God? Number one, distraction. When your life is pulled away by concerns. Maybe your life is pulled away by diverse things looking for your attention. Maybe you became too busy doing the work of the Lord until you have no time for the God of the work. Maybe you became too busy until you don't have a prayer life anymore. Maybe you became too busy serving God and you have no relationship with God. Distraction will be number one. And then second, disobedience to previous instructions. When God has spoken before, and you fail to do what he said before, he won't tell you another thing. He won't tell you another thing. God cannot speak to you beyond your last act of obedience. And then number three is discouragement and depression. I think that that will be the situation of Moses. Discouragement and depression. It can make you lose divine hearing. It can make you lose divine hearing. And that was the situation with Moses. Now, understand that depression is the enemy of revelation. Depression deprives of inspiration. It is not possible to be in depression and have inspiration. It is not possible for you to be in depression and have revelation. Is God speaking to anybody here? Say loud amen. But tonight, I stand by the authority of God, the authority with which I preach, and I decree today, everybody who has lost hearing and lost sight and lost revelation, you don't know which way to go, you are not hearing anything, you don't know which moves to make, I prophesy to you, your hearing is getting restored tonight, your revelation is getting restored tonight, understanding is getting restored tonight. You believe that, shout the loudest, amen. And so, it was the encounter Moses had brought a restoration of his vision and passion. Number two, it brought the restoration of hearing and direction. And number three, it was the restoration of his mission and mandate. Mission and mandate. The restoration of his mission and mandate. That is, God was saying to Moses, what I discussed with you 40 years ago, I have not changed my mind. It was a restoration of his mission and mandate. Is God not a faithful God? That he could wait for somebody for 40 years. For Moses. What are the things that make a person to lose mandate? Number one is disconnection from source. The mandate of a man's life can be lost when there is a disconnection from your source. You remember the case of the old prophet in Judah. He was an old prophet because he had lost touch with source. Another thing that can make a person to lose his mandate is delay in action. Whenever you start wasting time, God starts warming up with another person. Delay in action. Delay in crucial action. But here tonight, I believe that somebody, and who is that person? Somebody whose mission in life seems to be messed up and whose mandate in life seemed to be lost or seemed to be missing. Tonight there is a restoration. And I speak to a political person. Your mandate that you are trying to steal and give to another person, I announce it is restored now. Say amen like a believer. Shout the loudest amen. Let me give number four and then we are through for tonight. We'll continue tomorrow morning. What did the encounter do for Moses? There was the restoration of his vision and passion. There was the restoration of his hearing and direction. There was the restoration of his mandate and mission. And number four, there was the realization of his mantle and power. The realization of his mantle and power. There was the realization of his mantle and power. For every mandate, there is a mantle. For every mission, there is an unction. For every mandate, there is a mantle. For every mission, there is an unction. There is also a message. What you need to do, if God has given you a mandate, whether it is in the business world or in the political world or in any realm, it is to find out where is the mantle. Where is the power backup of this purpose? And I want to say three things, and we shall be closing tonight. In terms of mantle, there are three categories of people. In terms of power, number one, there are those who need an impartation of what they lack. Romans chapter 1 verse 11. Paul the apostle said, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end that you may be steadfast. There are some who need an impartation of the mantle they lack. Am I communicating at all? They need an impartation. Elisha had no record, no record of prophetic ministry. All of a sudden, the mantle of Elijah dropped and he received something that was never there. There are people here tonight, something that was never in your life, that is a need of your life. Tonight it shall drop on you. It shall drop on you. It shall drop on you. Shout the loudest amen. Take your seat. There are those who need an impartation of what they lack. Second category are those who need an intensification of what they have. It is not that they don't have a healing ministry. It is that the healings must become more drastic. It is not that they don't have a prophetic ministry. It is that the prophetic ministry should become more diagnostic and therapeutic. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Not only to know that somebody has a problem, but to have an answer to the problem you know. It is not that you don't have a financial apostleship mantle or the mantle to conquer millions for the gospel. But it is that you need to shift to the hundreds of millions and shift to the billions range. Is God speaking to somebody here? There are people, you have it, but it is at kindergarten level. You have it, but it is at elementary school level. You have it. You see. But the forces of darkness are still resisting you because you don't have it in sufficient doses. Nobody doubts that you don't carry light. But light. But your light is not bright enough to swallow up the darkness. Candle light is light. Tilly lamp is light. Electric bulb is light. Floodlight is light. The light that the welders use, oxyacetylene flame, is light. And sunlight is light. I don't know about you, but I need an intensification. There was a time in my life and ministry where I was only seeing a particular type of healings and miracles. It was as if the other types were totally closed. Lord, what is this? I pressed. I kept praying for those that could be healed. But I kept pressing for the type I was not yet seeing. And then it was intensified. There was a time I hung around a certain financial realm. I've given all the tithes I could give. I've done all the seed I could sow. And yet I was in that realm. Then I pressed. I went for light. And then crossed. And crossed. Crossed. And crossed. There are those who are in that category. Now, no, it is not an impartation you need. There are those you need an impartation of something you don't have at all. But there are those you need an intensification of something that is there, but is at a low level. It needs to increase in intensity. It needs to increase in force. That was what happened to Acts of the Apostles. In chapter 2, verse 1, the Holy Ghost fell. They were in the upper room. And they spoke in tongues. It's already happening. Then in Acts chapter 4 verse 31, the Holy Ghost fell again. Intensification. When it fell at first, the upper room was normal. When it fell the second time, it shook. It was an intensification. I prophesy to somebody. In the name of Jesus, that level of grace and unction, that level of help that you have that needs to shift to the next level is coming upon you right now. Spiritual wisdom, divine ideas, the favor that must intensify, the wisdom that must intensify, the grace that must intensify, the potential that must intensify. I prophesy its release now. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. How many of you believe there is something in your life that needs to intensify? How many of you believe that if you go back home the same way you came, something is wrong? Lift your right hand and say, it must intensify. The favor on my life, the wisdom, the unction, the anointing, the gifting, the graces on my life must intensify. I can't go on like this. Pastors, we need genuine apostles with genuine miracles to run out false apostles. To run false apostles out of market. We need genuine prophets with genuine prophetic mantles. The Elijah mantle. To run out the prophets of Baal. We need correct teachers to delete false teachers. We need kingdom entrepreneurs, billionaires, millionaires that will fuel the end time gospel. In order to silence the voice of those who are using their money to fuel demonic ideologies. Somebody say impartation. That is for what you lack. Somebody said intensification. And the third one is realization. Take your seat. Sit down. Even if you have to stand up after a short while. There are those who need an impartation of what they lack. And then those who need an intensification of what they have. And there is a third category of people who need a realization of what is there, but they are not aware.
That is, God is saying, you came to me to give you something new. I am not planning to give you something new. I am planning to show you something you have that you don't know. The rod Moses took to deliver Israel from Egypt was not a new rod. He had been with the rod for 40 years. God did not give Moses a rod. God only asked him a question. What is that in your hand? He didn't give Moses a rod. Moses had the rod for 40 years. The rod that can bury Pharaoh was in his hand. He was not aware. The rod that could bring water out of a rock. 14 million gallons of water was in his hands. He was not aware. The rod, help that man there. Power is everywhere. The rod that could tear open the Red Sea 18 miles wide was in Moses' hand, and Moses was not aware. Many of us are not where we are because of what we lack. We are where we are because of what we are not aware of. If the only reason why you came for this program is for God to show you something in your life, a grace, a gifting, a potential, something in your life that you don't know is there, a business idea, a business wisdom, a talent. If I were you, I'll be praying now. For Moses, it was not just an impartation. It was not an intensification of anything. It was a realization. Oh, is that right? I really have this. God said, drop it and see if you think it's an ordinary rod. He turned to a serpent, he ran, he picked it. It's not a rod, it's more than a rod. You are carrying a deliverance tool. You are carrying a mantle for the deliverance of a generation. You are a helper there, helper. La ya 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 ya. Lekete kefe kepadayash. Lekite kidaga. Something is dropping everywhere. Something is flowing everywhere. Something is dropping everywhere. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Lift your voice. Speak to God. Oh Lord, if I need an impartation, give me an impartation. If I need an intensification, give me an intensification. If I need a realization, give me a realization. Give me a realization. I can't live here the same. 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 Open your mouth and speak to God.